بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد Most respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, as many of us, if not all of us, are well aware that we are right at the beginning of the new year in the Islamic calendar. After the month of Ramadan had come to an end, we had anticipated or we waited for the days of Hajj. And that Hajj fever was all over. We bid farewell to the Hajis. Not long thereafter, the days of Qurbani had dawned upon us. We slaughtered our animals. And thereafter, we welcomed the Hujjaj back home also. And how time has gone, that we will find that that entire year had come to an end. And a whole new year has begun, where we find ourselves on the first day of the month of Muharram, 1447 AH. This month of Muharram, we will find that from before the advent of Islam, it was always taken as Mubarak, as auspicious, and there was a lot of importance that was shown to this month. In the pre-Islamic era, in the Ayyam-e-Jahiliya, and the people in general, in particular the Arab nation, they would show a lot of significance to this month of Muharram. When a person will open the pages of history, and we will read about the horrendous and the horrific crimes that they were guilty of committing, the burying of their own young daughters alive, the partying, the merrymaking, how they would treat women folk, the bloodshed in their day-to-day lives. It is mentioned in the riwayat that years and years of wars and bloodshed would be stirred up just by the member of one clan merely looking at the member of another clan. People would live in fear, in this agony, in not knowing what is going to happen the next moment, whether we'll be alive the very next day to see another day. But when it came to the month of Muharram, then everything that they would consider as vice, as evil, as bad, would come to a halt in this month. Like how in the month of Ramadan, we stop all our bad habits. Maybe that listening to music will stop, watching the different movies and episodes will stop, the different screens also will be put away or will be covered in our homes, whether it is for 1 week or a few days or whatever it is, but as a respect for the month of Ramadan. This is how they would treat the month of Muharram. They would try and free themselves to worship their gods in their own customs, in their own way. But this is the importance that they would show to the month of Muharram. And we find that after the advent of Islam, the month of Muharram, the sacredness, the importance of it, it only increased. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned, Man sama yawman min al Muharram. That person that will fast only one day, on one day he will fast in the month of Muharram, falahu bi kulli yawmin 30 yawma. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the sawab of 30 days fasting. So not just restricting it to just the first 10 days or a certain particular amount of days in the month of Muharram. But if a person has to fast every day, if it was 30 days, Allah ta'ala will give him the sawab of 900 days of fasting. How merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And this month of Muharram, as we know, it is included amongst those months that are titled to be the Ashur-e-Hurum, the very sacred months of the year. In the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. From the time of the inception of this dunya, and the entire world, from the time it came into existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it such that the system was in the calendar there will be 12 months. Minha arba'atun hurum. From these 12 months, there will be 4 months that will be very, very sacred and important, auspicious in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram, and the month of Rajab. 4 months that are very, very sacred and very auspicious in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from these 4 months, Muharram is the best and the most blessed of all. In the hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that after Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, the best month comes in second position is the month of Muharram. The best fast that a person can observe after the fasting in the month of Ramadan is in the fasting that is observed in the month of Muharram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has titled this month as Shahrullah, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributed this month to His name, we can imagine the importance and the auspiciousness, how significant this month is. Anything that is attributed and linked to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes or it reaches a level that is high above all others. You get the ibadullah. They are referring to the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. They are the cream of the crop of the human nation. The best and the most elite of human beings, the anbiya alayhi salam. They are linked with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wafdullah. Every year, that special delegation goes to the Baytullah to make Hajj. They are known as the delegation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are the special ones chosen for that particular year. Baytullah. Every structure on the face of this earth, every masjid, every home, but the greatest of all structures is the Kaaba Sharif. It is linked to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is known as Baytullah. So likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also attributed this month of Muharram to His name, Shahrullah. How significant this month must be. Why it is known as Shahrullah? Why it is known as the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But there is some subtle indication that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decided to take some major decision or to bring in existence some great incident to take place, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had many a times chosen the month of Muharram for that particular incident or that particular waqia to take place. As we know, year in and year out, whenever the month of Muharram comes, then we are reminded of one of the greatest incidents to ever occur in the history of Islam. In the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was the Amirul Mu'mineen and the Khalifa, and Islam began to spread rapidly across the world. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum were just conquering army after army after army, and they were just conquering land after land. Three quarter or two thirds of the entire earth, all the lands were under Islamic rule. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had appointed specific people in throughout the different lands of the under the Islamic territory to be his rulers, to be the governors, and the way of communication, they would correspond with Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu in the form of letters. At that time, for one letter to go from Medina Sharif to the different lands or the far off regions, it would take many, many months at times. So it was creating a bit of a confusion where one letter would come, one instruction would come from Umar radiallahu anhu, and thereafter another instruction would come. And because there was no date on that letters, on those letters, now the governors would get confused which instruction came first, which one abrogates and cancels out the other. So in the 17th year of Hijri, Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he writes a letter to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and he tells him that now it is time we sat down and we put some dates on our letters, because we are getting confused as to which instruction came first, which one abrogates which one. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he held a council of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and they began to consult, they began to make mashura that which year should we start the Islamic calendar from. Like that, the date of the day and the month was known. They knew which day it was. They could work out which day it was in the month. They knew which month it was also, but the year was not fixed. So when Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu took some suggestions from the senior Sahaba radiallahu anhum, a few suggestions came up. One was the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let us begin the Islamic calendar with the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But Umar radiallahu anhu didn't like this idea. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's entire mission, his entire mission or part of the entire mission of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was to shun the way of life of the Yahud and the Nasara and the non-Muslims. Not to resemble even in one small fraction, not to resemble them. Whether it is in our day-to-day life or whether it is even in our ibadat also. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam disliked resembling them in any way. So Umar radiallahu anhu mentions that it is the custom of the Nasara that they have started their calendar with the birth of their Nabi, with their Prophet. So he didn't like this idea because it would resemble them. Another suggestion came out that why don't we begin the Islamic calendar with the Nubuwwat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But that too was also dismissed. As Umar radiallahu anhu didn't like that idea. Most of all the Sahaba radiallahu, it was a period of Jahiliyyah, they were non-Muslims. Some said, let us begin with the death of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But this was such a heart-shattering day for the entire Muslim community, for all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The greatest catastrophe to ever hit the face of this earth, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had left this world. So Umar radiallahu anhu dismissed that also. There were a few other suggestions that had come about, until the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, few of them, they suggested that why don't we begin from the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When this decision or this suggestion came about, then it was as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that were present there. And everyone felt then in their hearts that this decision is the right decision. Sometimes a person will think about something, maybe I should do it like this, or this is what I should do, but there is still some doubt. But when this decision had come, how Allah ta'ala had made it, that there was absolutely no doubt in any of those Sahaba radiallahu anhum that were present in that mashwara, in that consultation. And every one of them felt that indeed this is the waqia or the incident that we should begin the Islamic calendar. So it was decided that this hijrat, this will be the beginning of the Islamic calendar. And one of the main reasons was that we find that the hijrat was a turning point in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. In Makkah Sharif, the untold difficulties, the untold hardships, every atrocity that could be thought of at that time was being done to the Muslims. How they were persecuted. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu anha, Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu, and what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to go through. All the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, what difficulty they went through in Makkah Sharif. With the advent of the Hijrah, now an entire Islamic government came into being. An entire Islamic state was formed. Now the azan could be called out freely without any worry. Salah could be performed also without the worry of anyone spying, anyone attacking. An entire Islamic way of life could be led without, as we would say, looking over their shoulders all the time, what is going to happen, who is going to attack us. So this was a great turning point in the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But together with it being a form of a freedom for them when they had come to Medina Sharif, we will find that when we read about one incident of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum when they made hijrah, then we will understand what a huge and a great sacrifice it was for each Sahabi to make that hijrah. They were living in Makkah Sharif, they had their businesses. They had everything, they had their wealth, they had their families, they had their investments, they had their properties, their conveyances. Hijrah demanded that they leave everything behind in Makkah Mukarramah. And they migrate all the way to Medina Sharif. Today it is like how we are living our lives today. We have our investments, we have our businesses, we have our cars we are driving, our homes, alhamdulillah, Allah grant us barakah, our investments that we have also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. But imagine if someone, or we are made to pack up just overnight and you have to go away to Joburg, to Cape Town, just nothing else. You can't even take your vehicle also. On foot, what you can carry with you. We still have our bank cards, our debit cards, our credit cards. They had nothing. Hijrah demanded that they leave everything behind. And the greatest sacrifice that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had to make was that they had to leave the Baytullah, the Kaaba Sharif. They grew up in front of the Kaaba Sharif. Today, when a person will go for Umrah, or you'll go for Hajj. 2 weeks we will go, or 6 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever the case may be. And now we know that this is the last viewing or the last time we are going to be in front of the Kaaba Sharif. Our flight back is in 2, 3, 4, 5 hours time. Our last visit to the Kaaba Sharif, our person will cry that, oh Allah, bring me back over here. When we will come back also to South Africa, our heart is still there in Makkah Sharif, in Madinah Sharif. We are yearning to go back. We are crying and making dua that, oh Allah, take me back. Their entire lives revolved around the Kaaba Sharif. They grew up with the Kaaba Sharif. Hijrat demanded that they tear their hearts away from the Baytullah, away from the Kaaba Sharif, and they migrate all the way to Madinah Munawwara, and they start all over from scratch. They didn't have that opportunity of putting their house on sale, that now they're migrating, and they know there's a business opportunity waiting on the other side. Now I can sell my house, I can sell my goods, and whatever I get, I will invest it that side. They didn't have any, they had to leave everything behind. And they start all over again in Madinah Munawwara. This was the great, it was such a huge sacrifice. Sometimes a parent had to leave a child. Sometimes the husband had to leave his wife. The wife had to leave the children. The children, sometimes the son had to leave his parents. The daughter had to leave their parents. So together, considering everything, what a great sacrifice. And that is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned, Al-hijratu yahdimu ma qablaha, that the hijrah, this is something that will erase and it will wipe out everything that was before it. Whatever sins a person has committed, whatever gunas, whatever you are involved in, once you make that hijrat, you're going to start with a clean slate, with a new slate, like a newborn baby. The good actions, the sawab of that will remain, but it's a completely new slate. All your sins are wiped off. On one occasion, one Sahabi came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that, O Nabi of Allah, which is the highest point or the highest level of Iman? What is the highest level of Iman that no one will be able to surpass you? That is the highest point, it is the highest level. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions Al-Hijrah, it is the migration. The hijrat that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu muhajireen had to make, that is that sacrifice that they made, and that the result of it also was huge, huge fazail, huge rewards that were mentioned in the hadith. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the Ansar, when he noticed that the Ansar and the few Sahaba radiallahu anhum who were not part of the hijrah, now they had felt that they had lost out on such great fazail, such the virtues of the muhajireen, they felt left out. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had consoled them. And he mentions to them, Al-Muhajir man hajara ma naha Allahu anha. One is the physical muhajir, the physical hijrat that a person will make. And one is that figurative hijrat. This is the true muhajir. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that true muhajir is that person who leaves out a way of life, of masiyat, of sins, of gunas, and he flees towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how hijrat, when they fled from Makkah Mukarramah and they came to Madinah Munawwara, this is a true muhajir, to flee from a way of a life of sin and to come to make hijrat towards a life of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To flee from bad character and to make hijrat to good character. To flee from bad habits and come to make hijrat to good habits. Flee from bad company, make hijrat to good company. And in today's life, today's times, this is the greatest lesson that we learn. To flee from that Western way of life, that filthy way of life of the West, of the enemies of Islam, of those that are there to drag the name of our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam through the gutters of this dunya, to boot and to shun that way of life, and to make hijrat upon the simple, the mubarak, the beautiful sunnah way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala makes us from among the true followers of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and from amongst those who will be true muhajireen that are mentioned in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.